I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This is At Home Connecticut, hosted by Joey Burgoyne, highlighting events and happenings that are taking place in your home, Connecticut, on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of At Home in Connecticut. I'm your host, Joey Burgoyne. The weather has been a little bit chilly, but that's okay. There's still plenty of things to do across the state, and one of them is actually to get outside and enjoy the outdoors. And joining me this morning, Eric Hammerling, the Executive Director of Connecticut Forest and Parks Association. Eric, there's so many things going on in the outdoors. It never closes, which is an amazing thing. We've talked about that when the COVID pandemic started. But there's just so many things the Connecticut Forest and Parks Association is doing. And I want to hit the ground right off the bat. Trails being closed. How can we help prevent that?
Well, the good news is, for now, trails are still open and able to be accessed by everybody, and we'd certainly encourage people to go to the Blue Blaze Hiking Trails map on our website at ctwoodlands.org. But one thing that people don't often realize is that trails cross all sorts of different types of land ownerships. You know, the trails go across private land, municipal land, state land, and, private corporate land. And there is always the possibility that a private landowner who right now is being a heroic, civic-minded host of a trail, they may say, you know what, I'm not sure I want to have a trail on my property anymore. And they are fully within their rights to do that. We work with landowners to try to make sure that doesn't happen. And we're working really hard to try to keep trails connected and unbroken by moving towards some, potential permanent options to protect trails. But about 40% of the Blue Blaze hiking trails are on private lands and are vulnerable to landowners potentially deciding to close them. So we're working really hard to try to make sure that doesn't happen, but it is an ongoing threat, and we feel pretty vulnerable. So it's important to raise awareness of that and hopefully get people to help us out as we're trying to protect and keep trails connected.
I mean, I guess it's one of those gifts and curses of living in a small state like Connecticut. There's a lot of expansive land, but that land usually comes with a little bit of a price that it's someone else's land, you know?
Oh, for sure. And of course, that's one of the nice things about all of the public land that we have in Connecticut. We've got, 110 state parks and 34 state forests and 90-plus wildlife management areas, over 250,000 acres of public land that we all, in a sense, own collectively and have some responsibilities to make sure are, maintained. But those places are also available for the public and are protected in that sense. Not quite so with private lands. But I do want to say once again that the private landowners who host trails and other recreational activities on their properties really need to be commended for the important service they provide to the public. And we just want to work with them to make sure that that opportunity to get outdoors on trails is always there.
Yeah, and one thing we're going to talk next about this is it's getting, outdoors with the family, the kids, letting them experience the outdoors and nature and getting them interested in things like this, the preservation of the outdoors and understanding how ecosystems and everything is kind of, we're all tied together in some weird way if you choose to like it or not, but it's true. And getting them involved in an early age is going to help because there's a retirement gap coming up that you're looking to help fill.
Oh, for sure. And Joey, it is so important to not only get those kids outdoors, but do everything you can to make sure that those first experiences are positive ones, because that really does get people connected and interested in pursuing, an outdoor recreation lifestyle, which is good for, your mental health, your physical health. and all sorts of, and of course, this last year during the pandemic, we all saw how important it was to get outdoors, get away from some of the craziness, and just decompress and get in a better space. So, you know, and of course, you mentioned this upcoming retirement cliff that we're facing, where, you know, we need to get people who are young and interested in working in the outdoors as well as enjoying them. And in fact, right now in our, you know, primary state agency that is responsible for forests and parks and wildlife management areas, they're expecting some huge retirements just in the next 8 months. You know, before July 1st this next year, they're expecting about 45% of their environmental protection staff to retire. Why is that going to happen? Well, after July 1st, some of the retirement benefits for state employees are changing in a negative way for them. So they have every incentive to, if they're eligible to retire, or even if they're not quite eligible to retire, to walk out the door. That is going to be very disruptive to people who are trying to get outdoors in 2022. And we're doing everything we can to make sure that, you know, the governor and administration are ready to respond and refill positions and hopefully also bring on some, you know, wonderful young people who are going to have conservation careers. So all of these things are connected, and I appreciate, Joe, you always see those connections.
And that's it. It's, you know, we only have one outdoors. Like, there's only one. We can't just go recreate it. This isn't, you know, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. No one's building planets in some far off galaxy that they're just going to overnight here on an Amazon truck. So we got to protect what we got going on side right now. And one of the things I saw on the website that's pretty cool, I'm looking at this trying to figure out how I can hit 800 miles without dying. The the Blue Blaze Trails Hiking Challenge. That looks pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely. And you'd be amazed at the number of people, probably about 15 people in the last year were able to hit the 800 mile mark. So, you know, that takes a lot of dedication. And of course, it wouldn't count if you just went to the same trail and walked, you know, a half mile or a mile, 800 times.
And there's no fun in that. There's no fun in that. Let's be honest. There's plenty of outdoors to visit.
I agree with you, Joey, but we do get that question every time, you know, hey, if I just go to this one place and keep going, you know, can I meet the challenge? No, we really want people to take advantage of all the amazing places there are. I mean, this 825 mile system of Blue Blaze hiking trails, it cuts across 96 different towns in Connecticut. There are so many different places that, even though Connecticut is a small state, you see an incredible variety of trails and, you know, exciting places for people to go. And we want to just foster that experience. And sometimes it's something like a challenge where someone knows they're going to get a little, a patch or a vest or a little reward for something. And that's all it takes for them to say, okay, let's get adventurous and explore.
I mean, you're not just getting that. The good you're doing for yourself on top of it is getting outdoors, you know, unwinding, letting nature take over for a little bit. There's going to be more positive notes that come of this that you're not even aware of until you start doing it.
So true. I mean, it's, you know, you never lead with eat your vegetables, but if someone does, you know, there are all those benefits that come along with it. And of course, you know, being on the Blue Trails, it is one of those experiences where, you know, you don't realize how much fun you're having until you look back on it and you say, wow, we've covered a lot of ground. Think about all these different experiences and some of those images that you have in your mind of, you know, the beautiful views from different vistas along the trail. Those stick with you forever. And it's really, you know, I guess I want everyone to have that kind of experience.
And one thing is, you know, we're heading into that season. We're pretty much peaking in a lot of places, but the foliage, I mean, you can hike if you want to, it's your choice. You know, if you want to hike the same couple trails over and over again, you're going to get a different experience on one day of the week versus the next day of the week. Coming into winter, you can have the light frost if you head out early in the morning. The trails are always changing. I think that's one thing that I wish people would realize more. It's, oh, we did that one. You can do it again because I guarantee it's probably different looking today than it was a month and a half ago in the summertime.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I didn't mean to come off like I was mocking anyone who would want to walk the same trail again and again, because you're right. There is so much change. In fact, this time of year is my favorite time to get out on the trails because you don't have the bugs.
Oh, thank gosh. Yes.
You still have, you know, some beautiful foliage that's hanging in there. Or if you get to a place where, you know, the foliage has, you know, fully blown down, you get incredible views.
The
trees are fully, you know, in, you don't get that same kind of view. So anyway, it is a really exciting time to get outdoors, and we encourage everyone to do it as much as they can.
And one of the times, we talked about this before we started recording, is it's the day after Thanksgiving. We're all going to be in some type of weird turkey coma. I'm not begrudging anyone for that, because I'll be in it myself. But you got an event coming up, the Fat Turkey Long Distance Hike. Amazing. Who came up with the title?
You know, I can only give credit where it is due. I'd love to take full credit for that one. But Beth Bernard, who is our education director and works out at the Goodwin Forest Education Center in Hampton, Connecticut, is the one who, along with some volunteers, came up with that one. And of course, you know, after a nice big Thanksgiving meal, hopefully we'll have some great weather on that Friday. Some people are going to rush to stores to, you know, start on some of their holiday shopping, but I would encourage people to get outdoors. And hey, if you want to join us on that Fat Turkey Long Distance Hike, that would be great.
It's amazing. You know, there's so many things going on across the state, and the Forest and Park Association has been a big part of getting people involved, and I appreciate you guys for that. If anyone wants more information, ctwoodlands.org. That's ctwoodlands.org. There's so much things to do. And if you are interested in, you know, a little career in the future for helping out the trails because you love the outdoors, there's nothing better to do than work and do what you love. If you're a fan of the outdoors, I suggest you check out that. If you're on, you know, someone's property, like we had talked earlier, just be nice. They're letting you use their property for a trail. Our trails, and they're crisscrossing every little part of the state, like you said, Eric. Just be kind and courteous. Help out. Leave no trace behind is another one. I appreciate you joining me this morning. One last thing, if you want people to end, you know, what's just one last thing you want to let people settle in their brains for a little bit?
Well, it's really, as we're talking about things settling in their brains, you know, think about young people and getting them outdoors for the first time. What settles in their brains when they have that first experience really does open up their eyes to the beauty of the world. And, you know, I don't want to put extra pressure on you taking those early steps with someone, but maybe you can be the person who first exposes, you know, a young kid to the outdoors and the beauty of it. And that's something that's with you for a lifetime. So I just want people to think about that and to get outside.
Well, I appreciate you joining me this morning again. Eric Hammerling, the Executive Director of Connecticut Forest and Park Association. Eric, thank you for joining me today. The trails and other things happen right here at home in Connecticut.
You've been listening to At Home in Connecticut, a public service project produced by WTIC News Talk 1080.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.